First Peter. I'd like to talk, as I was reading First Peter, some things jumped out. There's a lot of different ways, a lot of lessons that are good lessons in First Peter. I'd like to talk about peace among brethren, some of the things that popped out in my mind about peace among brethren. If you just looked around at us, you know, we're a kind of a, I wouldn't say ragtag team, but we come from various backgrounds. You know, we don't all look alike. We don't come from the same socioeconomic background. Some people migrated here from other countries. Some grew up in different, even religious situations or no religion at all growing up. And it's amazing, if you think about it, without the church, without Jesus Christ, we wouldn't know each other. We wouldn't be friends. And certainly we wouldn't be called to live in harmony or get along with one another. But because we do come from such various backgrounds and we're so different, and oftentimes because we're human, and oftentimes that is we're selfish by nature, that does lead to conflicts among us, unfortunately. But if we read the scriptures and as we mature as Christians, we're supposed to grow beyond that. We're called to live in unity and harmony. And that includes within our own relationships, like between me and my wife and you and your wives, or between you and your brothers and sisters, or between other brethren and those families. And those are certain challenges. There's a couple things in 1 Peter I want to look at tonight that can remind us and hopefully encourage us to grow in this peace and this unity. Peter is wishing for these people that, if you look at the end of verse 2, he says, "May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure." Okay? And if you flip to the end of the book, at the end of verse 14 of chapter 5, he also wishes, "Peace be to you all who are in Christ." So I see some bookends there, okay? So peace, to me, is a theme I wanted to bring out here. The first thing I wanted to look at is found in chapter 1, verse 3. And the idea here is that we all should get along because we all have the same goal. Okay? If you think about it, we're all Christians. We all have the same goal. Well, what is that goal? Verse 2 reminds us that we're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to obtain an inheritance. Okay, what is that hope that we have? What is a living hope? Well, if you're a Christian, you want to live eternally with God. We all share that same common hope. We all want to have eternal life. Imagine if you're on a football team or if you play any kind of sports. Those people oftentimes have their own personalities, their own special gifts. And if you get those guys, you know, in the classroom or whatever, they're playing, you know, at home, or they're going to fight. They're going to have their own differences, right? But if they're all unified because they want to win the game and have a winning season, and they all have a similar goal, and that's the job of the coach, right? He's supposed to get them all working together cohesively as a team so they could win. We all have the same goal of eternal life. We all have gifts and we all have different things that help us out and some things that are struggles. But the goal should be to get on the same team so that we can all get to the goal line, so that we can all have eternal life. We've all been born again to share in this living hope. And that should be an encourage us. That should be a reason that we want to unify together, okay? If we're born again, we should be made new, which means that the old man should be dead, right? We should put away those things. A newborn babe should be remaining. If you look to chapter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander," see, these are some things that we have that keep us from being unified as brethren, "like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so by it you may grow." See that? We should be longing for the milk that helps us grow, that helps us put away these things, that will help us unify together as brethren, okay? Now, if we're not growing, and if we're not unified, we got work to do, right? And sometimes we think that we're more mature than we are. We should look at ourselves in the mirror and see how we're acting to really give an assessment. Look into the mirror of the Word and see where we are. And sometimes we may need to go back to the elementary principles. You know, read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You know, read some of these things that read the Gospels. Read some of the elementary principles and see what kind of people will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes we need to be reminded of these things. We need to be putting aside the old things which cause problems among brethren, and like a baby thirst for God's word. As I mentioned before, milk should lead to growth, and we should not go back to our old man. If we continue to grow, we're going to be a better team player. To follow that football analogy, if we all have the same hope of salvation, if we're all reborn and we're growing on the milk of the Word, that training is going to help us grow up and mature to be a better team player for the Lord. Okay, we're going to be bound together. These things, this should help us be unified. So I would encourage us all to study more. The other thing that I want to talk about, my first point was basically all having the same goal. The second thing I want to mention tonight is all experiencing various trials. And this can be looking at chapter 1, verse 6, where it talks about, "For a little while, we have been distressed by various trials." I don't think that we're as patient as we should be with brethren. You know, we get into these contentious things, and we may not be really thinking about what that other person's going through. Or we may be so focused on our own self and what we're going through that we think that we should be deserve some extra favor. Well, the Bible calls us to be humble and close ourselves with humility and put others before ourselves. If we're always doing that, we shouldn't have any problems, should we? So let's be thoughtful of what other people are going through. The trials that we go through oftentimes cause contention and destroy peace. But verse 6 points out that these various trials that we're going to be distressed by, in verse 7, we're tested. These are testing us as a fire. And in verse 9, the outcome of them, we need to remind ourselves, is obtaining what? Faith and the salvation of our souls, right? So if we all have the common hope, we're all on the same team, we're all growing and feeding on the milk of the Word and putting away the old man that causes contentions, we're realizing what other people are going through, and we're bearing each other's burdens instead of worrying about me being, you know, wronged in some way, we're going to be growing in the unity of the Spirit, unity of peace. Let's turn over to chapter 4 and verse 12. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation." The idea here is, you know, sometimes we're just astonished that we're undergoing these trials, you know. We go along in peace. The brotherhood here, the congregation's experiencing peace, and then all of a sudden, whoa, out of nowhere, something flares up. We shouldn't be surprised. The devil's going to be taking every opportunity, if we're doing good work, to try to mess us up. And he wants each one of us, he's going to do his best to use each one of us as an instrument for Satan's will. You know, he wants to get in us, use our weaknesses so we can be workers for him. And I encourage you, don't be a worker for the devil. Don't give him any opportunity to disrupt the unity here. But if we are suffering like Christ suffers, and sometimes when you're in a contentious situation and you've been wronged, you know, whether it's your wife or your husband or your brother or sister or brother and sister in Christ, you know, you want to get them back, right? But we need to realize Christ suffered for us. And if we share in Christ's suffering, we're also going to be glorified as Christ is glorified at the revelation, right? When we're resurrected. So those are some nice things to keep in mind. "Let us help each other through trials and suffer if necessary, because this is what finds favor with God." And I'm quoting, paraphrasing from chapter 2, verse 20. You know, if you're treated harshly and you endure it, that is something that God would want you to do unjustly. And sometimes we have to be mindful of what other brethren are going through, and sometimes we have to suffer wrong and just slough it off and turn the other cheek. The third point I want to talk about is that we're all produced from the same seed. Okay? We all have the same hope. We're all on the same team here. We're all should be produced from the same seed, which is imperishable. If you look at chapter 1 verse 23, it's a seed that's not perishable. It's enduring, which means it can't be destroyed. And if that is true, verse 22, we should have our souls being purified, and as a result of that, we should be loving the brethren. You understand that? If that hasn't happened, then something's wrong. We should be trying to strive to be holy as our God is holy. Now imagine one of the things People who are like each other, they automatically flock together, don't they? Like if ethnic groups, we see it in the world, they flock together. You know, people of the same from the same country settle in communities. We were with the Leos the other day, and they were showing us like a Polish neighborhood. Everything was Polish in this neighborhood. Same thing, and if you've ever been to New York City, you know there's Jewish neighborhoods, Italian neighborhoods, and all those things. People from the same skin color and ethnic backgrounds, they tend, if you drive through neighborhoods, they tend to be near one another. Well, if we're all spiritually alike, that should draw us. We should want to be near each other in a spiritual context. Even though we look around, we look a lot different. Verse 22, I think, is really convicting. The end of that says, I'll read the whole verse. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. Notice sincere love. Fervently love one another from the heart. And I have a footnote, you may too, that from the heart could also mean unhypocritically. Unhypocritical. With a clean heart. You're not just acting like you love them. Okay? You're not just, you know, tolerating them. The goal here is to really love that person. To really desire to be near them. That emanates from a heart that is pure. A heart that has been transformed and molded by the study and the growth and being a mature Christian. It's overlooking all the differences and overlooking the being wrong and loving that person despite all these things. But once again, the same seed should produce the same fruit. So we should be spiritually alike even though that we're physically different. And if we're produced from God's seed of the gospel, we're going to be God's offspring. Okay, so we're brothers and sisters. We're the same as children. The last thing I want to talk about is we're all stones in the same house. Okay, this is another analogy I want to use that Peter uses. In chapter 2 and verse 4 is when he starts talking about this. We're all like stones, living stones, in the same house. Imagine if I came over to your house, Rich, and I started taking out 2x4s from your walls. Okay? I got a Sawzall. It's a nice. I'm going to just start taking out 2x4s. Just one here. I'm just going to go over here and take out one. Now, at some point, if I keep doing this, I mean, it's going to get structurally unsound. What if I crawl up into your roof and I start sawing through the trusses of your roof? Or if you have a brick house, I just start taking out, like Jenga, I start taking out little pieces of your house. What's going to happen to the house? Okay, it's going to become structurally unsound. It's going to cause problems. It's not going to be good. Mark 3:25 talks about a house divided cannot stand. Remember when Jesus said the house divided cannot stand? The same as in Matthew and Luke's account of the gospel too. When they were talking about when they were casting out demons, and they said, "Oh, this is by Satan's work," and he said, "No, Satan wouldn't cast out own demons. A house divided cannot stand." Abraham Lincoln used this in one of his speeches about the Civil War, that the nation warring against each other couldn't stand. Well, if we're fighting against each other, we're going to be affected too. We're structurally unsound. But turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. This one I do want you to turn to. What this tells us is very interesting. When we should think about being all stones in the same house, I'll start in 14. I'm writing these things, Paul's writing to Timothy, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, but in case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. This is interesting. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. What do you think about when you see a pillar or a support for something? You know? The 2x4s in the walls of Rich's house hold up the roof. Okay? If we are the pillar and support of the truth, God's truth, imagine you've seen like the Parthenon in Greece that have all those pillars holding up that thing. If you start taking out the pillars, and if we're the pillar holding up the truth, you start attacking the pillar, what's going to happen? It's not good. You know, our ministry of the gospel in Connecticut and in this community and the communities in which you live in can be greatly affected when the unity of the group is affected. Now, the gospel is going to stand. It's lasted for 2,000 years. But it can affect the group here in Wallingford. You know, it could be the detriment of a local congregation. God's word will stand. But the idea here is will the congregation last? So we have to unify and be drawn together. Just some closing words. If you look back at 1 Peter 5, in verse 5, you younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and this is the latter part is what I want us to focus on, and all of you, which means all of us too, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I am convinced that if we are more humble towards one another, a lot of our differences will work out. When you are trying to resolve differences with each other, even in our marriages, you know, I'm talking to me too, you know, I'm not just pointing the finger here. You know, any contentions that we experience, if we just clothe ourselves with humility and come to the table with humility, I mean, peaceful resolutions can oftentimes be resolved. I mean, can come about. But if we come to it with pride and haughtiness, and I'm going to get mine, it's a lot harder to come to a peaceful agreement and unity. The last one is, don't give an opportunity. If you look at chapter 5 and verse 8, it calls us to be a sober spirit and be on the alert. Because we have to realize there's a spiritual warfare going on here. Our adversary, the devil, he's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. See, the devil is trying to look for opportunities and weaknesses, trying to wait for when we're not alert for him to take an opportunity to use us as his instrument to cause disunity. Well, I hope this is helpful. These are some things that I certainly needed to hear, and I hope this has been beneficial to you. And I really hope that, and I really echo Peter's sentiments at the last verse of this, that peace be to you all who are in Christ. I really hope that we will grow into the full measure of peace that God wants for us, that He wants us to experience in Christ, be unified in Christ. If anybody has any spiritual needs they'd like to talk about, or if we can help anybody by obeying the gospel, we'd ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.
Looking to Thee from day to day, trusting Thy grace along the way, knowing that Thou wilt safely keep all that is mine. Sure of Thy soul-redeeming love, sure of the crown of life above, singing Thy praise I press along, Savior divine. Looking to Thee, trusting Thy grace, I am as happy as a true soldier can be. Nearing my own heavenly place, trusting Thy love, I press along, looking to Thee. Looking to Thee for all I need, finding in Thee a friend indeed. All of the burdens of the day meekly I bear. Neither the foe nor storm I fear, Savior divine, for Thou art near. Ready my cares and troubles all freely to share. Looking to Thee, trusting Thy grace, I am as happy as a true soldier can be. Nearing my own heavenly place, trusting Thy love, I press along, looking to Thee. After a while in heaven right, there is neither sin nor night, I shall behold Thee face to face, Jesus my own. Then with the saved ones gone before, I shall with rapture more and more praise Thee forever near the bright, beautiful throne. Looking to Thee, trusting Thy grace, I am as happy as a true soldier can be. Nearing my own heavenly place, Trusting thy love, I press along, looking to thee.